Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Hello. Peace be upon you. Welcome to the Voice of Love podcast. My name is Amita, and today I'm joined with a very, 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 very special guest, Fatima. I'm going to let her introduce herself, but I know Fatima through my best friend, Amira, and she kind of introduced us. And after I've met her, I've seen how much of an amazing woman she is, mashallah, and she's also very intelligent, mashallah. So I'm going to let her introduce herself, but everyone, please welcome Fatima.
My name is Fatima. I'm really excited to be on Amita's podcast today, and inshallah we'll have a great discussion.
Today's podcast episode, I'm just so excited. It's going to be a continuation of imposter syndrome and like the rise and grind culture, I feel like, where we're all just like, we have to go and constantly producing things and doing things. But kind of just to, you know, continue the conversation and warm us up a little bit, I wanted to play a little game. I know I didn't tell you about this, but just to get to know you a little bit better, we're going to do a little get to know you game of like the first word that comes to mind. So I'm going to say a word, and I want you just to say the first word that comes to mind, okay? All right, so the first word is love.
Wow, I really blanked on that.
Yeah, you're like, I have nothing, no thoughts, head empty. That's the first word. You don't have to think too hard about it, though.
Heart.
Okay, pineapple.
Pen.
Okay, life.
Life. Difficulty.
Got that, okay. Family.
Love.
Okay, home.
Sweet home. My answers are just like so basic.
No, they're not. I think they're amazing. I love them. Okay, social media.
Imposter syndrome.
Oh wow, I wonder where that came from. Okay, school.
Fun. I do not know why I thought of the word fun, but
seems like your subconscious trying to tell you like school. Okay, technology.
Oh my god, wow, I'm really blanking. Silicon Valley.
Okay, all right, keep up on us. Allah.
Love.
Friendship.
I keep thinking of the word love, but I thought of that again.
And podcast.
Fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the English language today, guys.
It's okay. Honestly, English is my first language, and I don't know it at all. I literally just be typing. I'm like, wow, man, I can't speak. Just like just now in the beginning, I was getting a little too out of myself. Now that we played that little game, I hope you guys enjoyed getting to know a little bit about her, and I enjoyed that as well. Although you think your mind is blank, I liked it. Okay, so we're going to jump straight into the questions and continue the conversation from her podcast, so make sure you check it out. It's called Between Us, by the way. I'm going to also link it in the description, inshallah. But yeah, so the first question I have for you, Fatima, is, so for those of you who may not know of like your academic background and stuff, can you explain to us how you ended up in your current major?
Okay, so it's a long story. So right now I'm a senior, and I'm also in my first year of my master's program because I'm doing a 4+1 program. But how it all started was I finished high school like super early. I was 17, and I also like graduated community college at that age. And then I was at a point in my life where I kind of had to choose my major because I was done all my gen eds and I only had 2 years left of college. And, you know, like with like the pressures of being like a first generation American and all that kind of stuff, like obviously it's like you have to be doctor, engineer, lawyer. And I liked space also. So I was just like, okay, so I can have a stable job if I'm an aerospace engineer. And it's like combined with something that I love, which is like the stars and space and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would be like over here building rockets. I didn't realize that you have to do all kinds of classes like math, physics, mechanics, fluid dynamics, etc. that I would like, I just, that wasn't really my thing. And like it was really difficult for me no matter how hard I tried. So then I got to a point where like I had a really bad GPA and I was like, what do I do with this? Like I might get into engineering school, but also it's like, even if I do, like, am I going to get a job? And I had a lot of self-doubt at that point. So I was just like, should I switch my major? First, I thought I'd switch to astronomy because like that had a lot less, it had physics and math, but it was not as rigorous as aerospace engineering. Mm-hmm. And plus it's something I liked a lot better, like actually studying the stars. Eventually I settled on like switching to international relations with a minor in astronomy because I have always been like politically active. I like speaking up about not political issues, more of like human rights issues, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you know, like nowadays human rights are political. So
yeah,
that's how I thought like that would be the best place where I could help people.
I think it's really interesting also how we all kind of know what we like and what we're interested in, but because we try to want to please, like, our parents or whoever else it may be, we're like, I guess I'll try and squeeze this in, or, like, you know, try and integrate into what they like, which is, like, us being trying to be good children, I guess. But it's just really interesting to see that similarity between us, because for me as well, it was like, my parents just want to make sure I'm stable and make money, of course, but it's like, but I really like this thing. So how it's like really a decision between, am I going to do what I maybe might enjoy for the rest of my life that not a lot of people have done and I'm going to have to figure out, or am I going to just stick to what people tell me is a good thing to do? So I totally get that. And I'm proud of you for coming to getting to where you are right now. And also shout out to your you being your first year your master's degree. May Allah grant you ease through that, because that's really cool. So in case you guys didn't know, actually, let me just say, homegirl is writing a whole book, okay? She is writing a whole book, mashallah. I'm going to say mashallah, mashallah. Okay, but yeah, so Fatima's writing a book, and I wanted to first ask you, what is your book about, and then what also made you decide to start writing a book, and is there a specific audience you're hoping to target while you're writing the book?
Yeah, so my book is about, like, it's basically about, like, telling the stories of Muslims, of, like, inspiring people and all kinds of people who are advocates for all kinds of things. And why I decided to write it is because in high school, I was very politically active. Like I mentioned, I was involved in a lot of, like, youth activism and a lot of different, like, social justice movements. And I was always the only hijabi, like, in the room, actually the only Muslim. And it was very difficult because there's a lot of Muslims who have, like, a big platform, but who don't really talk about their faith. And you also mentioned this in, like, the first part of the podcast. So it's, mm-hmm. like, I feel like it's very similar reason for why you started your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. They don't really talk about their faith. And they, like, at least for me, it was very difficult finding someone to look up to who I could, like, make sure that my activism was aligned with Islam as well. And that I was, like, looking at it from an Islamic perspective and not, like, trying to mold Islam to fit what I was doing. And that, like, caused a lot of doubt for me. So inshallah, I'm going to be writing this book. I'm going to talk mostly about, like, Muslim activists and Muslim mental health advocates. But, like, I want to tell the stories of Muslims, and hopefully the audience is, like, younger, like, teenage Muslims, especially Muslim women, who want to be inspired by the stories of others who have, like, gone through a lot of the same things that they're going through right now and who came out of it alive.
Oh, mashallah. That's so amazing. I just want to ask, because I feel like a book seemed like a very daunting thing, especially when I considered writing it, because I've seen so many things like, oh, I always wanted to do that. And that seemed like a really cool thing. But what made you decide to say, okay, I'm going to actually start this journey and decide to, you know, share those stories because you saw that lack of representation?
So this is, like, something I don't usually tell people because it was a while ago, but I've actually written, like, and self-published a book before. Mm-hmm. But it was just, like, literally a copy of, like, every other book out there. There was no Muslim representation in it. But I got to a point where I felt that there was, like, a need for me to tell not just my story, because there's going to be a little bit of that in my book, but the story of all the people I've interviewed and, like, putting it together in a way that was, like, cohesive. And I really thought people needed that at this point in time, because it's just so difficult to figure out, like, what you're doing with your life as a young Muslim. It is a difficult process, but if you, alhamdulillah, like, I joined a book creators program with Georgetown, and if you're surrounded by, like, a community of people who will encourage you, and if you have, like, an editor, like, I have an editor who's, like, always on my back about these kinds of things, so that's made it a lot easier.
I remember you posting about it on your Instagram. You guys can also check out her Instagram, because she posts, like, little updates about her book or, like, whatever struggle she's going through, and it's really great insight into see that. Again, to have the community, I think, is really important, so alhamdulillah, I'm really glad that you have that, and I definitely am excited to see it. Do you think it's difficult, though, to manage schoolwork and writing a book at the same time?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, especially this semester, I'm doing a lot of credits. I have a part-time job. I want to, like, be a research assistant. I'm still looking for that. And, like, I have my book. So it's, like, a big load. And then in addition to that, being at home with my family during quarantine, like, now I feel like I'm spending a lot more time with them. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's difficult to find that balance between, like, family time and work and school and all that stuff. But I feel like if you are organized about it and you block off your time, mm-hmm. which is literally how people like Elon Musk do it, not endorsing him because I don't like a lot of his views, but he's like very organized and like he blocks off time. So I'm like, okay, so I stop working in my room at like 6 p.m. I go sit with my family after 6 p.m., for example, which is what I'm trying to do. I haven't gone mm-hmm. in there quite yet. Mm-hmm. And then I like set up side time to work specifically on my book and time to work specifically on school. And alhamdulillah, it works pretty well so far. I don't know about the semester, but inshallah, it'll be easy.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Inshallah, it'll be very easy. Yeah, I feel like I'm also learning how to do that as well, because especially during when we're in person, it was easier because it's like we have that schedule that's already given to us. So it's like, okay, I have this amount of time to do whatever I want and then have my next class. So having that like strict, like, okay, I work now, I have this now, really does help. And I feel like for me also, like having this like a to-do list of like things to cross yeah. out, and especially physically, is also very useful. It just shows you in your face, like, this is what this time is for. And if you don't do it, it's like on to the next thing, you know, so that you don't fall behind with what you need to do. But I wanted to also ask you, what is like your writing process like, and how has it changed in quarantine? Because I know like what you've said, that because of school and everything, all your other responsibilities, it has been difficult. But what does your writing process look like?
So before quarantine, I feel like I had a routine going. Like I would wake up in the morning at like 6 a.m. because I commute. I take the bus. While I was on the bus, it would be like adhkar time. And then I would write like early in the morning before my class starts. There was like a bit of like, I had like 30 minutes between when the bus got to UMD and when I had to go in for my 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I would just sit in the math building and write. And then it came pretty easily to me because I had time for myself. I would go to Epley and work out and all that stuff. Now it's a lot more unstructured. Like now it's just like whenever I feel inspiration, I start, like I write a lot. Sometimes I get on a Zoom with a friend and I write. That helps because I do have a friend who's writing a book as well with me. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot more unstructured, but alhamdulillah, like it's a different process for sure, but it's not necessarily a bad one.
I think that being able to shift and also maintain all of that while also being in a pandemic is really, it's really difficult. And mashallah for you being able to do that. And I feel like we're used to juggling so much, and I was kind of in a similar situation. Like while my dad was in the hospital, I feel like I saw everyone, like people were doing research, people were working, people were still in class, like having all these extracurriculars. So I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to run from every single thing, like to go to the research lab, then to come to my job like in the office on campus, then to have class like right after, and then all at the end of the day to come home and to be completely tired, or just to go and help my dad because of like his medical stuff that he needed help with at the time. So I wanted to ask, like, do you feel pressure like while you're writing your book, or like any expectations of the need to be always on grind mode to, you know, be doing all these things that do fill your schedule? And if so, where do you feel like that pressure comes from yourself more so, or the people around you? And does that affect like how you work? Are you thinking, oh, people like this or people like that as you're writing?
Yeah, for sure. So like I just a week ago, I literally had to take a break from Instagram because like the pressure of like, oh, what are people thinking, like got to be a little bit too much for me, and I was like, I need to step back. But I think there's like in general, not just in terms of writing a book, and I'm sure you can relate to this, but also in terms of school, like you're expected to always be on and you're expected to like just hustle all the time. But sometimes I think it's like super important to step back and take a break and say like, I need this break for myself and I need this time to like recuperate and like relax. Otherwise if you just keep going, you're gonna end up burning out, and that's not gonna be good at all. Like I'd rather take a few rest days and take time off and have the book take a little bit longer than it would be if I just keep going straight through it and then burn out and end up getting bad grades, etc.
I feel like that's really important to learn like what you need and when you need a break, because I feel like a lot of times we kind of just ignore and be like, yeah, I'm tired. I wonder why I'm so tired. Meanwhile, we stayed up until like 5 o'clock in the morning trying to, you know, do everything. Like, that's really strange that we don't eat during the day. We're like, why am I so low on energy? Who would have thought? Like, you know, certain things are really important to give our bodies energy and like to, you know, focus on the task at hand. That kind of ties into the next question of like, how have you combated the hustle culture, and in what ways has your faith played a role in helping you succumb, overcome that pressure?
Okay, so this, like, I'm going to do this as an add-on to my previous answer. So I think, as for me at least, as someone who's usually very organized and I'm always in hustle mode, which is really, really bad. But as someone who's, like, used to being super organized and someone who is always, like, trying to work, one of the most difficult things has been, like, forcing myself to, like, take a chill pill and, like, stop. But, like, alhamdulillah, I think that what you said, like you asked about faith. I think that my faith has been really important in like taking a step back and stuff, because I feel like you're an empty cup at the end of the day, and then you read some Quran, it fills up, you pray, it fills up. So I think not necessarily taking a long break, but like even just like a 5-minute break to read Quran when you're feeling a bit down or stressed, that can literally make the difference in your whole day. And that's definitely something I'm trying to do more of, because obviously I'm not perfect. I don't do that all the time, but yeah.
I definitely agree with like how the Quran and just like turning to Allah really just refills us and gives us that peace and like the sense of like, okay, like everything is going to be okay. You know, like I just needed some time to breathe and not have all this going around me, like people's opinions. Cause as you previously mentioned, like social media really does, kind of infiltrate us, and it just constantly gives us everyone else's opinions and what everyone else is doing. And it's like, what do I think about this? Or what am I doing to, you know, actually do what I need to do or however I feel about something. So in continuation to like how your faith has helped you like overcome that pressure, how do you feel you're feeling, your faith has helped you with like how, whenever you feel imposter syndrome or feel like you're not enough?
Ooh, I need a moment to think about this one, because I definitely feel like I'm the kind of person who thinks that a lot. And I haven't really found a way to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like for me, what may have helped, and maybe it might be applicable for you, is understanding like everything's already written and what's meant for me will be for me. And that kind of helps whenever I see people who have already established themselves in whatever field or career that I may be similar to what I want for myself. And then I'm like, oh, okay, like, wow, they're doing this. Why am I not there yet? You know, like we're the same age, for example. So I think that sometimes just reminding myself, like I can get there if I put in the hard work, you know. And also like for you, it sounds, for me, it sounds at least, Michelle, it sounds like you are putting in the efforts and you are like kind of like always, like you said, pushing yourself to do more and more, like, or just to complete whatever responsibilities you have to do for yourself. I think that maybe sometimes just recognizing that and being like, we don't choose the pace of our successes. Like that's all up to Allah. We can do is put in the hard work. But yeah, that's what I think. So whenever you do feel feelings of imposter syndrome, are you able to find any ways that kind of help you out of that? Whether it be for like your friends or maybe distracting yourself with like a show or something, or listening to something. Do you think that anything has helped you in those moments?
Yeah, I definitely think distracting myself. Like I'll usually just like shut it off. Like I said, take a break from social media or whatever it is that's making me feel that way. Mm-hmm. And distracting myself with like a book or a show. One thing I'm trying to get more into is reading. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like reading heavy nonfiction stuff. I mean reading fiction, because I know we do a lot of nonfiction, like heavy reading for school. Yeah. So it's nice to like lose yourself in a good book.
I completely agree. I love this, like, going into the world of whatever they're in. I'm like, oh my gosh. And you start getting excited for the characters. And yeah, I definitely agree with that. Sometimes the best thing to do is just walk away when you start to feel overwhelmed, because it's like, we don't need that constant pressure on our minds. And then it also prevents us from being able to produce quality work, you know, when we're just like, it has to be amazing. This has to be the best thing ever. And also, that also kind of relates back to how I felt in regards to my YouTube channel, because it's like, this is gonna, an analogy for it, actually, or metaphor is, it's like, we may be the juiciest pears on the pear tree, you know? We may be the ripest, the yummiest, and there's always going to be someone who doesn't like pears, you know? And I feel like that kind of applies to us, that pressure of, like, wanting to be the best at this thing. Like, no matter how hard we may try, there's always going to be someone who doesn't like it at all, or someone who's going to naturally just hate on us because of our faith or our gender even, you know? So I think that, again, realizing that I'm not in control of how people perceive things, I can only put forth my best effort and allow for Allah to fill in those gaps and to decide what is good or what is not good for me and also my world life in Akron. Because at the end of the day, I started my YouTube channel when I was like 12, 13, maybe around that age. And it was like, again, I was starting off with like those covers and like random things. And it's like, I didn't wear hijab and all this other stuff. And I also wanted to do makeup. So it's like, if I started off then, I got that, the clout or whatever, or, you know, the fame. That it's like my faith has completely transformed, but that would always remain on the internet because those things are forever. So I feel like there's sometimes just hidden blessings and things that we may not realize in terms of our struggle or where we are. But I think also being grateful and experiencing gratitude is something that's really important. It's like, alhamdulillah, for even those 5 people that do watch my video, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though it's not the thousands or millions that it may be for other people, I still have to be grateful for what I do have, because these people are putting forth all their effort to support me and be there for me. And, you know, even if it's just something as like a like, or, you know, retweeting me, sharing my link with stuff like that, that's something I really have to cherish. Because if I'm not grateful now, how can I be grateful later? You know what I'm saying? How can I be grateful for my abilities to even be able to write, you know, if I was writing the book, for example, if I am, you know, so focused on what homegirl over there is doing instead of, you know, just looking here and reminding myself of, you know, Allah's mercy and just like guidance through everything, because Allah knows best. But yeah, that's my little tangent on that. But yeah.
No, that was good. Actually, I do want to add, like, another thing that really helps is, like, moving your body. Like, going outside and going for a run and listening to a podcast or whatever while you're running. It's, like, scientifically proven to also, like, release your happy chemicals.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Especially in the pandemic, it's, like, we all kind of forget that that's really important. And I'd be, like, in bed all day in, like, the dark room. And I'm, like, why am I feeling so down? Or, like, why can't I focus? Yeah. And I'm, like, Maybe what they were saying about me having to move my body for like 30 minutes is very relevant, because once I get up or I force myself to actually do something, I'm like, the energy is back. I'm feeling a little bit of a vibe. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. And your focus comes back too. Mm-hmm. Like, even in terms of schoolwork, it's like you have sharp focus right after. So
that definitely leads into like the next question of like how we stay inspired, I guess. And like, especially for you during your writing process, I wanted to also ask what keeps you motivated. So to like just keep going whenever you do feel discouraged.
So I think that this is a weird answer, but motivation is like a myth, because you're not always going to be motivated to write, and you're not always going to be motivated to do your schoolwork and or workout or whatever it is that you're doing. So I think that discipline is more important, like forcing yourself to be able to sit down and do stuff even when you don't want to do it, is a lot more important than motivation, right? Because you're going to get like bursts of motivation once in a while. But then most of your days are just going to be like, oh my God, I don't feel like doing this, or I can't think of what to write, or I'm having writer's block, and forcing those words out. And they can, like, it's important to remember that when it's like a first draft, obviously it's going to be horrible. So you can always go back and edit it. It's just like getting those words out for that day.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's very solid advice. I feel like a lot of us, we just look for that inspiration of like, let me go watch this motivational video to get me ready and pumped up. But meanwhile, we'll watch like 10 motivational videos and then the time has passed and we're like, what the heck? What happened to all my time? So I definitely feel like doing things that we don't want to do. And I feel like that just reminded me of school, because obviously we never want to do the assignments, or like we're not interested in turning in the work, but because we care about our grades and like the end goal and whatever that may be, it's like we have to, you know, be disciplined enough to do the assignments and put forth whatever level of effort that we can, you know. And I think that's a really important lesson, and I'm sure a lot of you haven't learned that, because I feel like a lot of people struggle with that. And even just like in day-to-day life, I feel like discipline is something that I need to work on, at least personally, just like, you know, just the things that are constant responsibilities and just doing things even I don't want to do them, especially when it comes to getting out of bed, because like my bed is just like a cloud. I just want to be here forever. But it's like, if I just set that routine and set that schedule where I'm like, okay, I have to get up now, and then I just get up and like don't think twice about it, then I'm like, okay, I'll miss you, bed, but I'll be productive, you know, doing other stuff. So and then I'll feel better at the end of the day knowing that I was able to complete whatever task I have to do.
Yeah, literally the stuff you say about the bed is so relatable. Like, my bed is my best friend. I can just
same. Yeah, it's like it holds me in its clutches and I'm like, I don't want to go. But yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one on that, because sometimes he would be like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, okay. But yeah. So in terms of the book, one of the last few questions I have is, what do you want people to take away from your book and your story overall as like a Muslim woman who is doing this process and undergoing all these, you know, trials and difficulties that you are?
I would say like that I want people to take away that they can do it too. Like, I'm writing a book. I'm a perfectly ordinary person. Like, I'm not special or anything like that. So if I can do it, then like you can do it. Like, I definitely think that we need to take more initiative in like spreading our stories out there. And it doesn't have to be through like writing. Like, it can be through photography. It can be through, I don't know, like anything that you're good at, even through filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't know if you know that Turkish show, like Ertuğrul, but like the people who made it, they inspired so many people around the world. So whatever your way of spreading your story is,
mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to take that and use it for the greater good, so that the more people you reach, the more rewards you'll get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I guess also like making sure that you're centering your life around Islam. And that's something I talk about in my book a lot, is like making sure that everything you do, you put Islam first and then you base everything on it, rather than the other way around, because that's when things start to get messy. Mm-hmm. So like for me, being involved in political activism and stuff, I didn't really have that concept when I was in high school, because I did have a lot of technical knowledge about STEM, and everyone thought I was, like, super religious and stuff, but, like, on the inside, it was, like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I just think it's, like, super, super important to be, like, okay, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this or this or this before you do anything, so that you can make sure that you're doing it in, like, the best manner Islamically, and that you're getting the barakah out of it. And, oh, yeah, for those of you who don't know, like, barakah means, like, blessings. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
That's a wonderful answer. Honestly, that dropped the mic. That's a perfect way to end everything. Honestly, I could end it right here, and it'd be amazing, mashallah. Just to even comment on that wonderfulness. I just agree so much. And in regards to, like, why I started my own things, or I'm trying to be more vulnerable and open, it's just I'm like, I exist, you know? I have my own story, and I have my own words to share, you know? And I think it is so important that we all share our story. And again, I touched on this in Fatima's podcast in terms of wanting to see that representation. So I just decided to do it, because it's like, there's always someone that can relate to some extent to what we're going through, or what we may be experiencing, or can seek inspiration from what we may be doing in our own lives. And I definitely do think, like, we all have a voice, we all have a story, and like you said, whatever way that can be. And I think we always neglect, because of our family backgrounds or our cultures, the importance of entertainment, and also, like, those, that creative outlet, because that's what we do. Like how we said, like you said, you took breaks and you may watch something, or you know, do whatever it may be. It's like, those are what we're consuming and we're constantly seeing. So even if it's like a little post on Instagram motivating someone to keep going, that can be what, you know, makes the difference for someone. So if it be photography, and you're like, wow, like, you just, like, revel in the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and like the beauty of human beings, or whatever you're photographing, or, you know, like entertainment, like seeing people's stories again, like in terms of a television show, I definitely agree with that, because I've seen like Black television shows, for example, like A Different World, for example, that was like an 80s show. I forgot the statistic, but a large percentage of minorities, specifically Black people, went to college because of that show, because it was based around college. And it's like, people look up to that, kids and like whoever it may be, like your audience needs that. And we need to see people like us who are experiencing life and experiencing all the intersectionalities that we face. And I think that, again, mashallah, your book is really, from what I've heard of it, of course, I haven't read the whole thing or seen all of it, but, or any of it actually, but just in general, seeing you trying to seek out different sources and different people and their experiences, it's allowing for us to see the different and multifaceted aspects of Muslim women, of Muslims as a whole, you know, regardless of our gender, but also specifically our gender, because I feel like as women, we do face, you know, different things, and having that be acknowledged and like, hey, wait, that's me too. Just sharing our stories with like, wow, okay, like maybe I can do this, you know, like I see someone else doing this. And like you said, and that's your goal, to be inspirational, to show like there's nothing special. It's just someone saying, I'm going to try, and then leaving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill in the gaps. So that is really amazing, mashallah. So with that, I'm going to ask you if there's anything you wished I would have asked you, or any final questions you have before we end the podcast.
You did really well, mashallah. Like, you asked all the good questions and hit on all the right points. I think I just want to expand on like the imposter syndrome thing, because I kind of blanked out on that answer. But I think, you, like I said, I encourage people to like tell their stories, but I also feel like imposter syndrome and feeling like you're not enough, for your story isn't important enough to tell, or whatever it is. That can be like a big, huge hurdle to being able to tell your story. And I think it's just really important to remember that everyone goes through that. Like, you're not alone in feeling that. And even though people really don't talk about it, and they just pretend like they think they're perfect, or like they look like they're confident on the outside, but really, like, everyone goes to sleep at night wondering that. Even people who have like 100,000 followers or whatever, they probably think that too, but they just don't say it. So I think like, pushing past that and forcing yourself to remember you're not the only one who goes through that is really important. And yeah, just like ignore those voices in your head and tell yourself that you're enough and you're important and your story is important and that everyone wants to hear it, because everyone's got a different perspective and it's really important to hear all the different perspectives.
Mashallah, that was beautiful, wonderful stuff. And yeah, mashallah, I agree. I 100% agree. And as you're talking, another thing I thought of was just how Allah gave us these desires for a reason. You know, He placed it in our hearts for a reason. If it's something that we can't get out of our heads, which is also something I felt for my own platforms and stuff, I was just like, Allah is placing this desire so strongly in my heart, and He wants us to make the dua for it. He wants us to seek Him for our validation, because I know a large factor is that seeking validation from other people. So I think that just remembering, like you said, that it's all possible, and like people want to hear our stories. And even if you think no one wants to hear it, just do it just for the fun of it, you know, and like don't expect anything out of it. Sometimes our expectations, we're so afraid of like the outcomes, and we're always just assuming, but Allah's the best of planners. He knows the best outcome for us, you know, so don't worry so much about the outcome as opposed to just doing the work and leaving the rest to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the universe, whatever you believe in. But yeah, so I just want to do a little round of applause for you because you did so amazing. And yeah, so if anyone's struggling with imposter syndrome, just like Fatima said, you're not alone, and we all can get through this. Just remember, take breaks, and also applaud yourself for the hard work you've done. So I'm giving you your flowers and applauding you, Fatima, because from what I've seen and from what you've told me from our conversation, you're doing amazing, mashallah. And I got a little emotional, but yeah, why am I getting emotional? I don't know why I'm getting emotional. You're doing really good, and I know how difficult it can be, especially when it comes to mental health and like just overcoming that. So just keep going and put in effort just to try, even if you don't want to. So I pray Allah awards you, keep you the best of health and iman, and you're doing great, sweetie. Keep on the good work. So yeah,
that's thank you. Amazing. You too. You're doing amazing too as well. Yeah. Like, I'm really proud of all that you're doing. MashaAllah.
Okay. We reached the end of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please make sure to check out both mine and Fatima's podcast and other episodes. Fatima's podcast is based around faith as well. And she also just talks to Muslimas and shares their stories and also just advice and tips and whatever honestly goes on in our lives, in our day-to-day lives. And she recently rebranded, I saw, mashallah to that. Check her out on social media. Like I said, she's also writing a book, and make sure to check out the book when it comes out. What is it, the title of the book, for people to know?
Working title, I just changed this again. It's like Whispers of Our Radical Voices.
Okay. And what's your name that you go by when you're authoring, just so people can, whenever you finalize the title,
so I use my actual name, Fatima Yunus.
Okay, so yeah. Make sure you guys check out Fatima Yunus.
So I published a fiction novel first. Mm-hmm. That was my first book. Mm-hmm. It's like teen fiction. So if you're like in the 13 to 16 range, maybe mm-hmm. 12 to 16, I don't know. Check it out. And my second book was a poetry collection.
Okay, yeah. So if you guys are interested in any of that, please check it out. And yeah, I think we've reached the end. Thank you guys so much for listening. And yeah, assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. And yeah, you can say bye as well, Fatima, if you like. But that's it. All right.
Yay.
You did it.